And you can get that free home fire safety check by calling 0800 731 5958. There's going to be adverts running throughout our series of programmes and on the rest of the programming on Seven Waves Community Radio. Because this is the Voices programme, we've actually thrown it open to a few other people to contribute as well. And we got in touch with a local Wirral writers group called the Ace of Scribes. And we actually asked them to write some pieces for us specifically about fire. And we've got a charming piece coming up for you now. We're going to take you way back to the 1950s. 1950s Yorkshire. It's just like Heartbeat. This is an original piece. I do hope you enjoy it.
Original story, written and read by Sam Dennis. A most fortunate initiative. Apart from the soft sound of brassware being polished, the little fire station in North Yorkshire was silent. Fire Chief James Eccleston stood imperiously over his latest recruit, Geordie Buckton, a freckle-faced youth from Tyneside, raw but eager to please. The Chief, as everyone called him, did not intend to intimidate the boy, but inspection was part of his job, and he always did it with his usual thoroughness.
"Perspiration is 90% of the job of a fireman," he instructed as he inspected. "But then, lad, in the face of danger and a raging fire, the other 10% is training, instinct, and above all, initiative."
"Yes, Chief. Initiative, Chief," responded the youngster.
Chief Eccleston sighed, but affectionately, knowing that many lessons were long in the learning.
"When you've finished, lad, put on a brew."
The station was cool, while outside a hot Maybank holiday explained the quietness in the village. Only the Chief and his eager volunteer manned the station today. Others would arrive at a moment's summons if required. They never got their cup of tea as the phone rang just as the Chief was returning to his paperwork.
"Yes, sir. Mrs. Tolley, I understand perfectly," the Chief intoned with authority. "We shall be along straight away. Have no fears for your tiddles. He'll be perfectly safe until we arrive." "What's that?" "Well, we can sort that out when we get there as well. I wonder why we have school holidays. Nothing but trouble." "Right, lad," said the Chief, putting down the phone. "Here's your chance for some action. Double action. We've a cat up a tree and a lad with his head stuck in railings. Get your uniform on and get in."
Geordie was disappointed that they would not be ringing the bell and racing through the village streets, but any action was better than the endless polishing and the frequent brews of tea. As they arrived outside the home of Mrs. Tolley, she saw them through the kitchen window and came out to stand beneath the tree immediately outside, where her precious tiddles mewed piteously. A boy bent over by the railings, just below her kitchen window, tried to twist his head to see what was going on, but his ears wedged between the bars prevented him. The Chief climbed down and took charge of the situation. You might have thought he looked somewhat proud and pompous, but those who knew him well recalled his service in the World War only 10 years earlier. His bravery and ability to keep a cool head in any situation had taken him to sergeant. Ideal qualities for a fire chief. Having surveyed the situation, he decided on a priority which left the boy in the railings to learn his lesson. Without turning around, he held out his hand.
"Fetched, ladder, lad."
When after a few moments nothing happened, he turned around to witness the tail end of another drama unfolding behind his back. Unfortunately, in her haste to welcome her cat's rescuers, Mrs. Tolley had left her chip pan at the critical moment when the chips ought to have descended into it. As a result, the pan, on full gas, was belching black smoke by the time the Chief had set foot on the pavement. Seconds later, it had ignited and flames were licking at the ceiling. Geordie, witnessing all of this framed by the kitchen window, leapt down and began to unroll a hose.
"Initiative," he said to himself.
By the time the Chief finally turned around and took in the situation, Geordie had taken the nozzle through the front door, hooked up the hose, and was most of the way through turning it on.
"Who's got hold of the other end?" cried the Chief.
"Why, no one, Chief," said Geordie,
as the full pressure of the water snaked its way up the steps of the house and into the kitchen. It was as though the rest of what happened took forever, but was only a few seconds. as the three watchers turned to look in at the window where the blaze now threatened to take over the kitchen. There was a spray of water across the window. Then, by some miracle, instead of making the situation 10 times worse, as would normally happen if you sprayed water on a chip pan fire, the full blast of the hose caught up the chip pan and flung it against the window. It shattered the top pane of glass and flew out, narrowly missing the watchers, but not before dumping a large amount of lard over the boy framed by the railings below. Fortunately, the blast of water had proved sufficient to cool the hot fat before it rained down on them all, splattering everyone with greasy dollops. An instant later, the full blast of the hose, snaking like a demented anaconda, shot through the hole in the window and made a direct hit on Tiddles in the tree. It all happened too fast for him to dig his claws into the branch, and he flew out of the tree. As luck would have it, and perhaps the sequence of events owed more to heavenly intervention than luck, Tiddles landed slap-bang in Geordie's arms. As the chief quickly turned off the hose, scowling at Geordie, the boy in the railings, finding his ears well greased, freed himself and ran off home to explain why he smelt like a chip shop. It was two hot and sticky firemen who climbed back into the fire engine after helping clear up the mess Geordie had made and make a temporary repair to the window. Fortunately, Mrs. Tolly was extremely grateful for the unorthodox rescue and they got their missed cup of tea. On the way back to the station, the chief was ominously silent throughout.
I'm sorry, chief, said Geordie at last.
The chief suppressed the storm that had been building up in him to patiently explain that the correct way to deal with a fire involving flammable liquids was to smother the flames with a fire blanket or use the foam fire extinguisher. As they turned back into the station, Geordie looked up at his mentor and asked,
"Does that mean I shouldn't use me initiative?"
The chief sighed heavily.
"Nay, lad, just used fire blanket."
Thanks very much to Wirral Writers Group, the Ace of Scribes, for that charming piece written and read for us by Sam Dennis. Took you back in time to the old days of being a firefighter. And today we're talking about what it's like to be a modern firefighter.